Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with our very own Richard Doc Postma, private investor and good friend of the show here at the KE Report. Doc, it's always great getting your thoughts on the markets in the macro sense and specifically in the technical sense. And with some of the fluctuation we've seen lately in the gold and silver prices and the general trend down, not just recently, but really for the last 17 months since last August 2020's high in gold, I'm sure a lot of people would like to get your update on what you see on the gold charts in the short and medium term.
Well, short term, I think we're going to equilibrate here in December, and maybe we even get a little Santa Claus rally, but it shouldn't be much. But then in January, we might get a bump up again, Shad, but I'm not positive about this precious metal market right now going into 2022. I don't like what I'm seeing technically with these miners. And the worry here is the miners have really started to drop again to seek new lows. And we're only $400 or 20%. If that off the highs back last year. And yet these miners are just getting crushed. That worries me, because what that tells me is maybe the miners are foreshadowing a real knockdown in the precious metal prices here as we enter 2022.
Well, Doc, when you look at the charts, I know quite often you're using the weekly and the monthly charts, more longer dated charts, to look at the action in gold and silver and the other commodities. When you look at the monthly charts or the weekly charts for gold, what levels do you think are important for it to hold if it was to break lower? I guess I should ask you, do you think we'll break that 1675 level in gold, which has been key support three times now?
I think absolutely we can challenge it again, Shad. I think we will head back down towards 1700, and then that's not far off from 1675. And I think that's going to have to happen with the action I'm seeing in the miners. And the other thing is we're starting to see a real narrowing of the Bollinger Bands on the monthly charts. And that's saying that people, there's not a lot of fear here right now. There's some complacency. But I think that's going to change as we enter 2022. Something's got to give here. And it's hard to imagine that it's going to be to the upside with the way these miners are getting hurt here. I've got to believe that with these Bollinger Bands narrowing, that if we get a move, it's going to be back down towards 1700.
Well, when you look at silver, I know that it's been kind of in a funk lately. It was doing good earlier in the year. It got up to that silver squeeze high of around $29.50 to $30, and it's pulled back gradually since then, been mostly in a range all year between 22 and 28, but now we've even broken below 22. So when you look at the silver chart, what are you looking for there, Doc?
I think the next stop, Shad, is going to be in the $18 to $20 range. I think we're going to see it. I can almost say we're going to see $20. And then the question is, at that point, with the Bollinger Bands on the monthly charts also very narrowing a lot, what happens at that point in time? And what could happen at that point in time is we could start to 2022 just start to move that lower Bollinger Band down slowly. And it's possible we see we move down to 18 and into that area and maybe even lower. But we'll know by the end of February if that's going to happen.
Well, Doc, do you think that a lot of people are looking forward to the 2022 calendar year, and we'll know more today once the Fed talks as well, but with their plan to start hiking rates next year, and a lot of people think that's going to happen in the late spring to early summer, if that was to happen, generally the precious metals do sell down before something like that, before a rate hiking cycle starts. But once it's announced and once the news hits the fan and people start anticipating that in the general markets, there's generally a positive uplift in the precious metals. We saw that at the end of 2015, you know, going into 2016. We saw that at the end of 2018. So do you think that some of the weakness you see on the charts for gold and silver may coincide with them bottoming before that rate hiking cycle starts? And could that be what lifts them?
Absolutely. And when you look at the longer term charts, it's pointing to that possibility. I'll be able to know more as we get at the end of the first quarter of 2022 based on what I'm watching. But that's a distinct possibility, Shad, that could happen. And see, the importance of the longer term charts is they show you trends. I'm not a day trader. Sure, I've sold positions over a short period of time, but I'm a long term investor. And frankly, what I'm seeing to me is a very positive thing because I'm so tremendously in cash right now. And I mentioned to you off mic that I was 82% in cash as far as the precious metals positions I'm going to take. And I just see this ultimately 2022 being the year. And I said this last month, is especially the next 6 months are going to be the time to be really adroit in these markets. And you're going to be able to take, I think, some positions that we haven't seen in years in these precious metal stocks. And I think it's going to be the bottoming year, as I mentioned even months ago, that 2022, and that we're not going to see the highs challenge any earlier than 2023. And I stand by that. And I think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity in 2022. And it may be the rate hikes that foster that. And actually, the MACD on the monthly chart is signaling that possibility right now. And we'll see as it moves down even further on the monthly chart. And then once it planes out, that's going to give you the idea that, okay, the worst is over. And you better start taking positions at that point in time for the investors, not for the traders.
Yeah, as a more short-term directional trader myself, I'm expecting a few more pops and drops before we get there. But I like knowing that the overall trend that you see may be getting to this period of time at the beginning of next year, maybe in the first quarter, maybe the very beginning of the second quarter, where you feel there'll be some really good value to go bottom fishing in some of the mining stocks. So let's talk about a couple of them, Doc. We've got a couple lined out that we had discussed before we recorded today, just a couple of larger market cap companies. There's plenty of coverage on the expiration stocks in the sector, and a lot of people discuss the expiration stocks, but sometimes it's some of these larger, more established names that can still have nice leverage to the metals, but also are accessible to everybody. And we tried to pick four that would be easy for people to find and do some homework on themselves. First one we'll look at, Doc, is Hecla. I think it's a stock that both you and I have owned on and off for years, and I still hold a position in it personally. But one of the things I like about Hecla is that it's 130 years old, so it's not going anywhere. And when people talk about the Lassonde curve and they say that the value stops, you know, right when they go into production, I always point to Hecla and say, well, don't tell Hecla that, because they've been in business 130 years since their Lassonde curve went into production. And they have three main mines, the Greens Creek mine in Alaska, the Lucky Friday mine in Idaho, which they are trying a new mining method out, which is another reason I like that particular mine for them, and then the Casa Biardi mine in Quebec. So what's interesting is when you compare them to some of their peers, they actually have the highest average silver equivalent grade of any of the other majors. So more than Coeur or First Majestic or Fresnillo or SSR Mining or Pan American. I mean, all the big miners. Hecla actually has 587 grams per ton average, and that's quite a bit higher than any of their peers. So I see that as a strength for them. I also think they have about the same reserves Coeur Mining, but again, having that higher grade should be more profitable. And just one more little data point is that they have about 538 million shares outstanding, and their market cap's about $2.43 billion. So a little bit larger producer. Some could even consider them a major. They're definitely one of the big boys in the silver space, and they're definitely one of the largest silver producers in the United States, producing 40% of the silver out of the U.S. So I see them as a good name to trade, a good name to position in. But when you look at the technicals, Doc, what do you see in good old Hecla?
Well, I'm not going to speak to the daily because the daily looks awful. And I like to go to the weekly and monthlies. But on the weekly, we're fast approaching. We're sitting right on the 50 simple month moving average. We're right on it right now. And it's Hecla broke down again. It had that little rally in November. And then, in fact, some people, I think, mentioned on the site they were getting into it. And I thought, oh. And I haven't owned Hecla since I sold it at $8 to $9 on that spike a number of months ago. And I don't hold it at this point either. But on the weekly, the important thing to see is if we close on the weekly around this level, it's the lowest close since all the way back to October of 2020. Now, if we take that out this week or next week, That tells me from the weekly chart that we're in a little bit of trouble here, that we could move even lower. We have support on the 200-week moving average at about 4. And the good news is that the momentum indicators, at least the RSI, is starting to approach oversold, and it's approaching an oversold area it hasn't seen since 2020 in March. So that's positive from the standpoint of a potential bounce. However, on the MACD, it could get a little bit more bearish, and the strength indicators are starting to show that the bearish red line is starting to move higher. So we're right at the area where Hecla may make an opportunity to hold here in the next couple of weeks. But then you go to the monthly chart, and the monthly chart tells you, once again, trend again. And it tells you another story. The Bollinger Bands are starting to narrow and move toward each other. The negative is the MACD on the monthly charts, which have just rolled over the last 3 or 4 months and are starting to head south, and they're heading toward neutral. Plus the strength indicators, the black line, which has been moving laterally for months, is starting to turn down with the bullish and bearish strength indicators moving toward each other. That tells me that the odds are, and I always deal with odds, based on the monthly chart, that Hecla is not going to go anywhere fast to the upside, but that it may have to work its way down in January below 4. And at that point in time, it may hold for a while.
Well, Doc, with Hecla, which is the ticker symbol HL, at 453.8, you think it could get down below 4, and that would be a good place to look at accumulation then?
Potentially, because what you're going to get there, Shad, is around 350 or so next month, is your possibly going to be impinging on the lower Bollinger Band. And at that point, somebody's going to have to look at these charts, and then based on that saying, okay, do we have a potential to move higher off of that at that point in time, or will the trend continue to push that lower Bollinger Band down as far as price? But I won't be able to talk about that until we get to that point in time. But if you're going to pick a point, I would not pick a point right here of establishing position. I would wait at least until next month, and we move down toward that lower Bollinger Band.
Okay. Well, let's pivot over to another one, and it's a company some of our listeners will probably be familiar with, and that's McEwen Mining, under the ticker symbol MUX. And run by Rob McEwen, famously ran Goldcorp and produced a lot of gold for Goldcorp and found a lot of new mines and started McEwen Mining a few years back, really the end of the last bear market cycle. And it got off to a rough start the last few years, honestly. He's had a number of mines that have gotten into production. He's done a couple acquisitions, but they've struggled a little bit. And they currently have their operating mines in Argentina, the San Jose mine. They've got in Timmins, Canada, the Fox Complex, the Black Fox and the Gray Fox. They've got in Nevada the Gold Bar, Heap Leach, and Open Pit Mine. And then they've got in Mexico the El Gallo Mine, which is in production. It's had a few struggles and slowdowns there as well. So, I mean, one of the things I like about McEwen Mining is that I consider it a fixer-upper. It's a turnaround story, in my opinion. I actually picked up shares today pretty close to 81 cents. So I just couldn't believe how far off from where it was a couple of years ago that McEwen Mining is trading. So from that standpoint, as a contrary investment, I like it. But I'm sure that you're going to tell me that there's lower lows to be had, Doc. Just one more thing to mention real quick is that they have a $368 million market cap currently, and they trade about 3.4 million shares per day, which gives them a lot of liquidity. So it's a great stock for trading. And the other thing is that while they're known for gold and silver at their mines, they also have this large copper project in Argentina called Los Azules. And it's basically got 32.9 billion pounds of copper. Puts them between the fifth and sixth largest undeveloped copper project on the planet. And I think they're trying to find ways to, you know, monetize that and get more value for it. So it's not just gold and silver, it's also copper. So McEwen Mining, how do the charts look to you on this one?
Yeah, McEwen Mining, I owned that at one time. I sold it about $1.60 to $1.70, and then I waited for it to come back down. And then I was tempted to purchase it in the area of $1 to $1.10 when it was trading sideways for a number of days. But I kept myself from pulling that lever, and I'm happy I did. So I'm looking at it, and it was a nice move down today, and we might get a little rebound off of this, frankly. If you're going to have bought it in the last month, Shad, 81 cents isn't bad. It's sitting right at the lower Bollinger band on the daily charts, and it still looks on the daily charts as if there could be a little bit more weakness, but we're getting into, on the momentum indicators, we're getting into real oversold territory. Now, if you go to the weekly chart, it also is starting to show that we're moving on the RSI toward oversold. And I'm tempted to purchase it here myself, especially because of the RSI. But there's the strength red indicator is still moving up, but that could reverse. But it's a monthly that I find really interesting, because on the monthly chart, the pricing sits right now at the lower Bollinger band. And the other good news is that finally, and I've been waiting for this, on the ADX, a strength indicator, the bearish red line has finally impacted the declining green bullish line. So that's a positive from my standpoint. So I would say, could this stock go down further? Potentially, it could. But I don't think you have more than a 10 or 20% decline from here where it would challenge the previous lows at around in the 50 to 60 cent area. And this is not a bad place to purchase for long-term investors. And I may do that personally because I've been waiting for this. We could move a little bit lower in one more month, but this is a good place to start purchasing. You might have a little bit more downside, like I said, 10 to 20%. But if you're a long-term investor, that's not a negative, Shad.
Well, that's a little bit more encouraging message, Doc. So, hey, I feel a little bit better, although 10 to 20% still means I'm going to take a haircut on it. But it just seemed at 81 cents too good to pass up today to at least layer in another tranche. So let's move on to the next one, and this is a more of a silver and base metals company. It's called Silvercorp, on the ticker SVM on both the Canadian and U.S. exchanges. And Silvercorp is a large producer of not just silver, but also zinc and lead, and even a little bit of gold in there now. And they are operating in China. It's a Canadian company, and a lot of times they are described as a Chinese company, but they're actually a Canadian company operating in China. They do have a few Chinese executives on the board of directors and in the management team, but they're a $600 million market cap company. They've got about 176 million shares outstanding. A couple of things I like about Silvercorp is they have the best cost basis of any other silver producer on the planet. Their all-in sustaining costs are down around $7.35. So even if silver does pull back from 2150-ish down to even 18, heck, even if it pulled down to 10, they would still be insulated because their costs are so low. So they've been printing cash like crazy. And with that cash, they've actually gone out and done a lot of drilling on their properties. But they've also won two different mines in auctions just this year in 2021 from the Chinese government. So they got two mines on the cheap, way cheaper than what it would have been to drill and develop and build a mine on their own. And they've already got a couple of mines that have been operating in China successfully. And so the pushback on this one is that a lot of people may be hesitant to get into China as a jurisdiction. But the other thing to think about is it's not just that they're printing cash there. They are now taking strategic stakes in a lot of other companies. And they have about a 28% stake in New Pacific Metals, which is a Bolivian silver explorer. That's a pretty huge stake. They kind of incubated that company. They've got a 29% stake in Whitehorse Gold Corp. They've got a 43% stake in New Infinity Silver. They've got a 19.9%, so basically a 20% stake in Volcanic Gold, who we've had on the show before, down in Guatemala. And they've got a 15% interest in Omai Gold Mine. So they've actually diversified a lot into South America and Mexico to be able to take a little of that jurisdiction risk out. And then the last thing I'll mention is when you compare Silvercorp to a lot of their peers, their enterprise value versus their silver equivalent ounces, they're one of the lowest values. So they've got more room to rate higher. Their enterprise value versus EBITDA, their price to earnings ratio, their price to cash flow, almost every metric you look at, they're undervalued compared to a lot of their mid-tier silver producing peers. So I think they still have room to get re-rated higher. But when you look at the charts for SVM, what do you see, Doc?
Well, on the daily chart, it's taken out its previous low back in October. So we're moving back down again. It's very oversold in some of the momentum indicators, especially our SI. But the MACD shows that it could move lower here yet to challenge the low on the MACD way back in August. Also, the strength indicators, the black strength indicators, looks like it wants to move up a little bit yet. So on the daily, it tends to show, although it's had quite a move down today, we might get a little rebound tomorrow, but it tends to still want to go a little bit lower on the daily. Now, on the weekly chart, it's broken down. We're going to have three closes, weekly closes, below the 200-week moving average, and that's not a good thing to see, because the 200-week moving average is going to become a real area of resistance. Plus, it looks that it could become a little bit more oversold next week and the week after, and maybe into January yet. So we could see a little bit more move down as we move into January. And then the question becomes, okay, what does the monthly show, which is a better indicator even of the long-term trend? And on the monthly, we're getting pretty close to the lower Bollinger Band. But for the first time since way back in 2016, we're starting to see the 12-month moving average move below the neutral line, which is not a good sign. If we move below that in January and February, that means that we're going to even move lower in Silver Corp. So I would watch the monthly on this as far as on that MACD to see if we take out that neutral. And when you do take that out, that's a very important dimension, because that often tells you you're going to have a weakness for some time. But I think the odds are very good that in the next couple of months, people could pick this stock up between the $2 to $3 range.
Okay. Well, appreciate you giving us a heads up on a good buying range to have investors be focused on. And with all these things, we should also mention that we're not financial advisors. We're not advising anybody on what they should actually do. You know, you should talk to your own financial advisor if you want to invest in the stocks. This is just two guys, Doc and Chad, talking about stocks. So just wanted to go ahead and get that disclosure out of the way. But one other one we want to cover real quick, and that's in the royalty space. We try to cover a few gold companies, a silver company, and a royalty company each time we do this. And this time we've picked Mavericks Metals. Mavericks is an interesting company in that they've really come onto the scene in the last couple of years, a newer company, and they got a whole package of royalties from Pan American Silver. They got another package of royalties from Newmont Mining. They got another package of royalties from Kinross. And they actually started off with a bunch of royalties from Goldfield. So that's four different majors that they've been able to get a basket of royalties from. And their business model was basically going to the majors and saying, look, you're not getting any value for these royalties you hold. If you put it in our vehicle, you can have, you know, shares in our company, and you'll get a lot more value as we daylight what these royalties are actually worth. So all four of those larger companies, Goldfields, Newmont, Kinross, and Pan American Silver, all played ball with them. And because of that, when you look at them today, they now have 122 royalties and streams. They've got 14 paying royalties and streams. So it's not about how many you have. It's about how many are cash flowing and generating revenue. And they have got a 99% exposure to gold and silver. So some of the other royalty companies have other base metals mixed in, some specialty metals. Some companies like Franco and other ones even have oil and gas and coal and different things. Anglo Pacific has coal in there. So you just never know what you're going to get in some royalty companies. It's a basket approach. But Mavericks is almost all precious metals focused. So those are a couple of things I really like about them. They've got $577 million market cap and 145 million shares outstanding. So fairly tightly held for the royalty space, but generating cash, lots of paying royalties. Some of the mines they hold royalties on are companies that I think are strong operators. So that's the other thing, having strong operators that are behind the projects. And I just wonder what you think of it from a technical basis, Doc.
Well, on the daily chart, Shad, we've once again, here's another stock that just is getting crushed, and it's taken out its previous low back in October and is moving down. And we're in oversold territory on the daily chart, which is good, although I think we're going to move a little bit lower here as we move into the end of the year, because the strength indicator is still moving up in a bearish manner, but I think it's getting ready to peak in the next week. Now the question becomes, okay, we could get a low rebound in this stock, but what bothers me a lot about it is, for the first time in a long time, we've taken out the 200-week moving average, and we're probably going to close the week out below the 200-week moving average. And once again, that's a real negative for stocks at this point in time, where we've seen continual bearishness as when we see that type of action. And on the momentum indicators, we're starting to, it looks like, move into oversold territory again on the weekly. So we could get a bounce here fairly soon, but I would not be encouraged by the bounce, because I think that could get people thinking that, okay, we're okay now. Because if you go to the monthly chart, is we're in a definite downtrend. And for the first time in years, the monthly RSI has moved below the 50 area and is heading toward oversold. We haven't seen this low a level going back before 2013. And on the MACD, we're moving toward neutral zero, and we'll probably move toward that more in January. Now, the positive on this sort of thing is there's quite a gap between the 12-month and the 26-month moving average. If we move down again in January, or let's say even February, with that amount of gap, you could get a sudden move back up. And that's a real potential. But I think the trend still is sideways to down here. And if you go back to the daily chart, what I'm looking at, if I'm going to buy this personally as an investor, or let's go back to the weekly chart, I'm looking at the 30-week or the 50-week moving average, or the 400-week moving average, which is around 3. I think potentially that's going to be a place where we're finally going to settle out over the next few weeks. And personally, for me, I would start to look at potentially purchasing at that area. And I'm not recommending that to people, but I'll know if we get down there. But the point here is that it's broken the 200-week moving average, which is not a positive. And if we get below 375 and close weekly below that, then there's nothing but air for a while below it. So, but anyway, this chart is another one where we see breakdowns. And the low back in March of 2020 was $2.46. So I think a lot of these charts, and Mavericks Metals is another one, and I mentioned this months ago, that we could see a double bottoming of some of these stocks. Well, now it's looking like a lot of these stocks are in the process of double bottoming. And so you still have to be careful here. We might still have some move down over the next number of weeks to challenge it for some of these stocks.
Well, Doc, we'll wrap it up there, but that's a good comment at the end that we picked these four just because they're larger, more liquid, and bigger companies that people can look into. But the patterns we're discussing really could be applied to dozens and dozens, probably hundreds of stocks in the precious metals sector. So just some good comments that you may want to be looking out for a double bottom test on some of those weekly and monthly charts, or just in pricing in general, and that there may be some good buying opportunities coming up in the first quarter of next year, just to keep people's eyes peeled. So I hope everybody enjoyed this segment with Doc and I. We'll be back again probably in a month or two to talk about more stocks. But Doc, as always, thanks for sharing your technical wisdom with us here at the KE Report and giving us your technical levels to watch on both gold and silver as well. We really appreciate it.